Thank you for leading the songs tonight, Daryl. Jumping in there when you're needed. Give me a second to get ready here. There we go. There's been a lot going on. I'm glad that you're here. If you're as busy as I am, you're here because you know it's important to be here. You're here because you've made time to be here, and you're here because you see this as a value. Some of my friends are just too busy to come to church. They say it's their last day, the only day they can do anything, and this and that. And, well, I say I'm pretty busy too, but I make time because it's important. And you can't force somebody to do anything. There's a story about the wind and the sun having an argument about making the man take his coat off. And the wind said, I can make the man take his coat off. So he blew as hard as he could, and blew, and the man only clutched his coat harder. You can't force people to do things that are good for him. The sun said, I'll make him take his coat off. He warmed up, brought out a nice ray of sunshine, brought the temperature up, and the man took his coat off voluntarily. We need to get people to do what they need to do voluntarily, come from the heart, not out of a legalistic, dogmatic need or out of guilt or pressure, but to get people to do things for the right reasons, right things for the right reasons. I've been coaching baseball. I'm really busy. And it occurred to me, after preparing a very technical presentation about a lot of stuff that we probably don't really care about, and it occurred to me getting back to the basics. That's what I'm teaching these kids. They're 10, 11, 12 years old, and I'm finding that a lot of them just need to be taught basic throwing, catching, and batting. And I tell them, come prepared. And I think we need to follow these same things here at church. Basics. Come prepared. And give the speaker your attention. I see and have to admit, I come in Sunday mornings pretty tired. We're all busy. We're up late. You see people nodding off. You know, if there aren't fireworks going off up here and people screaming and yelling and shooting guns, it's kind of hard to keep your attention sometimes. But I think we owe it to the speaker to come in here well-rested and prepared. You don't need to bring your baseball glove or water or a coat or protection equipment, but come in alert, ready to listen. My keep it simple here, getting back to our first love, is realizing what we sang about tonight in our hymns. And I was just listening to these hymns that we're singing. And 404, solid rock is Jesus Christ. 186, on the cross that Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. And how much more difficult does it need to be? Romans 3:21 through 26. So he tells us, it's on the board here. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. There was a play this weekend. Gregory was in. Some people attended. Really happy to see you there. Thank you for giving your time. Once again, a value. And when I told other people about the play, they went, gee, I didn't realize it was about that. If I'd known it was about that, I would have come. A lot of the stuff's just a waste of your time. I mean, it's just kind of suck up your time, and you walk away going, eh. But this was a nice play. It was about 200 AD, about the martyrs, and about people who took Christ, put Him in the center, and wouldn't deny Him. Even under death, they were told that if they just would renounce, recant their faith, call upon the Roman guards, and call the emperor their leader, they'd be let go. Otherwise, to the arena for a certain death. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And I think that we take our faith for granted quite often. We come in here a little tired. If there aren't fireworks going on, just, got to get with it. Come prepared. Bring your water. Whatever it takes, get ready. So I am going to show you this presentation. We're going to make it short so we can get back to the basics. But I started out with this because it was in my face. New Age religions and interfaith movements are big and have been big, and they're coming on stronger and stronger. And it's a shell game. You ever go to the Mariners and they're switching the hats? They got the baseball, it's under the hat, and they're switching it around. And you think you know where it is, one, two, or three, and then they switch it again. This has been going on for quite a while. Except, well, choose wrongly in the shell game that's provided with New Age religions. We're not talking about a fun game that I got to say I won. We're talking about our eternity and our immortal soul. And I've said it once, I'll say it twice, we all have an eternity. Will it be in hell or will it be in heaven? And if you choose wrongly in a shell game, you may go to hell. So let's get basics here. Dalai Lama says, different religions and philosophies exist so people can find the one that best suits them. That's nice. I'm glad that I didn't do that because my religion would have a whole bunch of weird stuff that probably wouldn't be real good for me, having a lot to do with the videos and Chinese food and sleeping a lot. So you find yourself two opposite ends of the spectrum, legalism and liberalism. I couldn't think of anything better to call it than liberalism, let anything goes. Legalism, they're just so stuck in it all. And I appreciate John Hawkins' communion message tonight because it's exactly about that. And the legalism that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had so many rules right in front of them, they missed Christ right before their very face. And it's just so simple because he's right there. The liberalism, they'll let anything go. I mean, anybody can preach about anything. Doesn't have to be about Jesus, and actually, let's kind of push him over the side so we can get some fireworks and gunshots going, keep your attention. That's how they get the big audiences. They get real exciting. Now, don't be offended at this. I heard this in my HVAC world. That's heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and cooling. And the guy said, John, it's just air conditioning. You're either hot or you're cold. It's KISS. I said, what? KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay? So New Age religion and interfaith movements are coming and they're pulling a shell game on us. Another nice statement that was made by an interfaith leader was to claim that one religion is the only way to heaven is purely a statement of ego. Well, I didn't make that statement. It's in the Bible. And there is only one true God. And there is only salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? So, why do we come to church? We take our time and come to church. I get up. I'm busy. I get up and come to church. I bring my family to church. Sometimes they bring me to church. You probably experienced that too. So, I have to say, am I saved? Well, Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. I was helping move some of the stuff after the play. Had a nice conversation with one of the musicians, moving a bunch of his amps. That is a chore. You know, these musicians that have to carry all this equipment around. That is a commitment. And we had this good conversation. We both admitted that we'd been brought up in the Catholic Church and quote, joked about being recovering Catholics and how he felt it was such a waste of time because all they want to talk about is canonized saints. They don't really talk much about the Bible. Now, that's not all Catholics, and it was just a conversation we were having. And it came down to, are they saved? And the statement was, I said, I don't know if they're saved. I mean, I know a lot of Catholics that I believe are. But it ultimately is up to God. And he said, for that matter, do we know that any of us are saved? I thought about it for a quick minute. Do we know that any of us are saved? Yes. Yes. If you believe in Christ, if you profess Him as Lord, if you call upon Him and recognize Him as the Son of God, your Savior, if you've gone as far as the obedience, New Testament baptism, you pray daily, there's no particular formula, I'd say Christ is it. It's number one. That's our first love. There you are. If we have that, then yeah, we're saved. Then we got talking about once saved, always saved. And that's a whole other area. I can say I don't believe that once saved, always saved. I think it takes a daily exercise. And going to the gym, you got to continuously go or you lose. You lose everything you work for. And if only religion were that simple. So, getting into kind of the stuff that's going on here, there's a lot of stuff going on. Seeds of Compassion, 08, right in our backyard. April 16th, 2008. The Dalai Lama, Bishop Tutu, General Interfaith Discussion of Spiritual Connections. This stuff sounds great. This stuff is smooth. And you kind of go, wow, I want to be a part of that. Why didn't I go? How come I wasn't there? And just kind of notice some of this stuff. Okay, this is Seattle. This is where our backyard. This is where we live. It is referred to as a region with the country's lowest levels of religious ties. So are we kind of ripe for the picking? In a city of people not exactly known for having formal religious ties, some 7,400 cheered Tuesday morning as they welcomed the Dalai Lama, Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and about a half dozen other religious leaders. The five-day Seeds of Compassion gathering drew about 144,000 attendees. Big numbers. On the last day of the Dalai Lama's visit to Seattle for a gathering on compassion, he joined Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Sikh, and other Buddhist representatives. It seemed a fitting movement for a region with the country's lowest levels of religious ties, where many describe themselves as spiritual but not religious. The young people asked and took part in answering questions about overcoming anger, not being hard on yourself if you make a mistake, and keeping a loving heart in the face of destruction. The Dalai Lama said he believed that different religions and philosophies exist so people can find the one that best suits them. He said, "I think everyone, ultimately, deep inside, has some kind of goodness," he said. He's a believer in all religions. Seattle Times article, April 24, 2008, Husky Center, Juan Garcia, just concluded his meeting with reporters here today and said he went for the miracle healing. Nothing wrong with that. In deciding not to have surgery now and see if his injured left foot will begin mending on its own in the next month. It's okay. Unlike Tuesday, when Garcia met with reporters and teared up at one point, he was in good spirits today, joking that he's a believer in all religions right now because there's got to be one that's right and will answer his prayers. That's pretty wide spectrum right there. I think when you go for everything, you're really, it's all going to slip through your arms. You can't hold everything. How can you believe in everything? Again, it's coming in, it's keeping it simple. To be religious today is necessarily to be interreligious. In a recent document, the Jesuits affirmed that to be religious today is necessarily to be interreligious. Dialogue and understanding and working justice together, the Jesuits said, help us to recognize that all religions are graced with authentic experience and self-communication of the divine word and the saving presence of the divine spirit. In our age, we need to join hands with all peoples of goodwill, of whatever variety and stripe, to work toward peace, liberty, social justice, and moral values. There's some buzzwords. Through dialogue and mutual respect, we pray for a deeper understanding of our loving Creator and the divine mystery beyond any one particular religious expression. This is given to us by the Reverend Patrick J. Howell, a Jesuit priest and dean of the Seattle University School of Theology and Ministry. He and four other columnists, Rabbi Mark Glickman, the Reverend Patricia L. Hunter, as is Huneo and Pastor Mark Driscoll, take turns writing for the Faith and Values page from the Seattle Times. You can find a lot of... That's where I'm seeing this. Over and over, I'm seeing these little statements. Oprah's New Age Jesus XM Religious Course. How many of you heard of that? This is big. Talk about mega church. They're preaching out to numbers in the millions. This started 8 weeks ago. And the forum comes out of A Course in Miracles, which is a controversial book, and you might compare it to and have heard of another called Conversations with God. Different writer. They're collaborating. I'll read you what I got there. It's basically what I just said. It's just the one lesson a day throughout the year. Completely over 365 lessons from A Course in Miracles workbook. Course in Miracles, a New Age worldview that includes the belief that there is no sin, no evil, no devil, and that God is in everyone and everything. A Course in Miracles teaches its students to rethink everything they believe about God and life. For example, Lesson 29 asks you to go through your day affirming that God is in everything I see. Nothing wrong with that. I kind of think God's in everything I see. He made everything. Lesson 61 tells each person to repeat the affirmation that I am the light of the world. Christ tells us we are the salt and the light. Nothing wrong with that. But lesson 70, a little further down the road, teaches a student to say and believe that my salvation comes from me. I don't think that you can just go right out and start telling crazy stuff to people and they believe it. The most dangerous lies are half-truths. The best science fiction movies are half-truths. New Age, new spirituality that they are now referring to as a civil rights movement for the soul. Talk about some buzzwords. And it gets to the point that if you want to combat this, you come out as intolerant. You come out as trying to be you're the problem. Okay? It's a shell game. Teaching A Course in Miracles will be Oprah's longtime friend and special XM satellite radio reporter, Marianne Williamson. You can spend a lot of time looking at these people, reading up on them. If you read some of the material, it really isn't half bad. I spent a little time reading Marianne Williamson's stuff today. At first glance, it looks good. Who happens also to be one of the premier New Age leaders? She, in conversations with God author Neil Donald Walsh, co-founded the American Renaissance Alliance in 1997, that later became the Global Renaissance Alliance of New Age Leaders, that changed its name in 2005 to the Peace Alliance. This Peace Alliance seeks to usher in an era of global peace founded on the principles of a new age, new spirituality that they are now referring to as the Civil Rights Movement of the Soul. We just had a warning come out from the church that warned us about the book, Conversations with God, where Neil Donald Walsh actually claims that he received this dictation in his head from God, named Jesus, not Jesus Christ, but his name was Jesus. And he spent time taking down this dictation. And a bunch of stuff that we would have issue with is in that book. I don't want to throw it all out there, but here's just a small part of it, not even the most offensive. Psychic power is being asked. This is being asked to God. Psychic power, God says, according to the writer, that using psychic ability is nothing more than using your sixth sense. Obviously, this is not trafficking with the devil, or I would not have given this sense to you. And of course, there is no devil with whom to traffic, page 205. Okay? There's something there if you're going to try to convince me that there's no devil, I'm going to have issue with it right away. New Age, religions and books, okay? So this Neil Donald Walsh has said that his God stated that the era of the single Savior is over, by the way. Have any issue with that? And that he, God, was responsible for authoring the teachings of A Course in Miracles, which being taught on Oprah's radio station. Tom Cruise, anybody like him? I used to. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have any dislike for him. I'm a little concerned about the direction that he's going. He's one of the leaders, and he's taken over because of his high profile guy Ralph was talking about this morning. Who is the greatest? We're drawn to high profile people, and they put them up there and say, be like me, look at what Tom Cruise is doing. He's in the Church of Scientology. So he and Oprah kind of get together here and there, and their powers, you know, they're pretty powerful people. I don't know how many millions Oprah has. She does a lot of good things. Okay, it's the shell game. So Cruise and Oprah Winfrey are both scheduled to host the star-studded concert December 11th in Oslo, Norway. And this is for the Peace Prize concert, the Nobel Peace Prize. Tom Cruise is slated to be a presenter. Some of the critics say they're worried that Cruise and his church, Scientology, will use the event to promote the controversial religion. And the people that went against this were labeled intolerant and ignorant. When the people who went against this asked the people who were asking Cruise to present what they knew about the church, what do you know about Scientology, they admitted they didn't know anything about it. They just wanted Cruise there. So, you know, this stuff, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. It's been going on. Carl Sagan was part of this. I mean, he's long gone. And, you know, he came up with all this neat stuff. And I remember my mom having his books and then watching the TV shows and thinking he was just great because he was slick. These people are slick, too, and you need to be careful. And the cosmos is his thing. It was all about the cosmos. Remember that from the Truth series? It's all there ever is. It's all there is. or ever was, or will ever be. It doesn't really sound wrong that we are all simply made of star stuff, longing to return to the cosmos. Pretty smooth. Rolls off your lips if you say it enough. But what did we decide was wrong with that? He's leaving Jesus out of it. It's all there is, all there was, all there will ever be. Again, we pushed Christ right out of it. That's my problem with this. And we've got to go back to our warnings in the Bible about false doctrine. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. Remember, keeping it simple. So what did we just see? Some pretty good stuff. It was actually, might draw your attention. You might even want to go to one of these things. I mean, they're talking about compassion, love and forgiveness, overcoming anger, not being hard on yourself, a loving heart in the face of destruction, working for justice together, working towards peace, liberty, social justice, and moral values, working through dialogue and mutual respect. There's nothing wrong with that, right? This is good stuff. They're mixing it in. And what's happening is they're pushing Christ out the back door using all these hook words that we do want. It's promoted in the Bible as well. Christ was a revolutionist of his time, pushing for women's rights, children's rights. Children were considered third world citizens. Nobody cared about them. And today, we have children's ministries that are important. I got to thinking about this, and I'll share it one more time. I didn't plan on it. My outfielder upset because they're outfielders. They want to be infielders. People just don't think that it's important. I told the outfielders it's an important position. I mean, if the ball goes over the infield, what happens? Right? You got to get it. You got to get it in. Catch it. You know, it's an important position. Ichiro's an outfielder. He's pretty famous, pretty important. Children's ministries is really important. People forget about it. We're in here, we're concentrating on our speakers, but there's a whole other multiple worlds going on out here at our building. At our building, we're teaching our children. I'm impressed. And not every church is doing that. A lot of them, it's just daycare. They're being watched, they're being taken care of, they get a snack. They're not teaching them. The kids went to another church with us once and they said, "We don't like it. They don't teach us anything. They're just kind of watching us. And a couple of snacks. We want to be taught." It's an important investment in our youth. You don't grow up to be an adult and decide one day, "I think I'll be a Christian." Maybe you did. I don't know. But it has to come from the planted seed in those youth ministries. You can leave the church for a while, suffer some hard times, and then it'll grab you. You'll come back. That's what happened to me. It was my early teaching that brought me back to the church, made me willing. So what did they slide in? Different religions and philosophies exist so people can find the one that best suits them. So there's multiple religions, right? That wouldn't be fair. If in my opinion, that wouldn't be fair. That would be a shell game. Oprah says there's 27 different ways to heaven. 33 different ways to heaven? I mean, that would be unfair. Why not just make one way, like God did, and through Jesus Christ? And you can be a believer in all religions because there's got to be one that's right. So, all or nothing? I don't get that. All religions are graced with authentic experience of self-communication. What does that mean? The authentic experience of self-communication? Again, am I going with what I think? I'm self-communicating? Not through me, but through the power of Jesus Christ. Left on my own, I'm in trouble. My salvation comes from me. There is no devil. The era of the single Savior is over. Everyone ultimately, deeply inside, has some kind of goodness. Yeah, but isn't it godly goodness that we're really concerned about? Things being done for the right motive, not some side agenda. And I'm going to do this for you so that you'll do that for me, or I'm going to get something out of it. People who are giving out of the goodness of their heart aren't expecting anything back. That's what Christ teaches us. Where does Jesus fit into this? And where does God fit into this? And what about the Holy Spirit? 1 John 4:1. Test the spirits. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, that's true. I'm answering these, okay? The second one was you can believe in all religions because there's got to be a right one. in Jonah 2:8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So by trying to get it all, you're getting nothing. Have you ever greedily tried to grab a bunch of stuff and it all starts just falling out of your arms? I have. All religions are graced with authentic experience of the self-communication. In Jeremiah 23:16, it tells us that this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They will fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. My salvation comes from me. Acts 4:12 tells us that it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Right? Salvation is found in no one else. You start hearing people telling you these things and red flags. And there's the fireworks right there. And they start going up. Right? There is no devil. Well, much as I'd like to believe there isn't a devil, and I don't need to fixate on it, but I think it's important to realize that there is. And it's talked about repeatedly in the Bible. If you're going to take the Bible whole as it is, I'm not going to pluck this and this and out of it, so I'm reading that there's a devil. In Luke 8:12 is one of these readings. It says that those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And that's a reference to the parable of the four soils. Distractions. Distractions. The world's full of distractions. It's full of shell games. I am subdued by them a little more than I should be. The era of the single Savior is over. Jude 1:25 tells us, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen. Is it over? It says forevermore. Everyone, ultimately, deeply has some kind of goodness. I know a lot of good people. And unfortunately, I know some people that really don't want to have anything to do with church. They're good. They have some goodness in them. I just found this one in Galatians 5:22. It tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Something that I wrestle with. I think we all need to wrestle with. But realize self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Mark 9:33-34. Who is the greatest? Ralph is talking about this morning. And I just think it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Who's the greatest? Are you going to spend a whole bunch of time and tell me that this guy, God loves this guy more than me? God thinks more of this guy more than me because they know more? It comes down to... And don't be offended. I think it's great to... We need to learn. We need to study. We need to stay exercised in the Word. But if you... Talking to this guy, this musician, removing his equipment. Am I saved? How much more great is that if I'm saved? If you're doing good works for the Lord, I think He loves you more. If you're doing good works for the Lord, I think He cares about you more. But who's the greatest? I threw this in here. Same one Ralph had today. When they came to Capernaum, when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. The disciples were talking about who's the greatest. They wanted this kingdom. They wanted this kingdom that Christ was going to put on earth. They didn't get it. You know, do you feel guilty about getting it sometimes? Here's his disciples who walked, ate, slept with him for 3 years. He's telling them all these things. And they still think he's going to produce a kingdom on earth. They didn't want him to die. They thought he was morbidly talking about his own death. They wouldn't question him about it. The one time they did, he scolded them. So they never asked anything else again. They didn't want to admit that they didn't understand. They didn't want to ask him more. What do you mean you're going to die on the third day? What do you mean a man's going to be, you know, going to be killed and then raised up and on the third day rise? Why weren't they asking him? Have you ever sat in a class and you just didn't really want to ask the question and nobody else is asking? Is that what that was going on? They don't want to be yelled at. It was really tough putting up with them. And I think it's pretty tough putting up with me sometimes too. And that's where God's grace comes in. That's the grace we need to extend to each other daily because God's very patient with me. Short-tempered as I am, I need to tell myself that I need to extend the grace to others that's been given to me. Jesus said, forever who is not against us is for us. So does that mean then that whoever is not with me is against me? I think it does. You can't be hot or, you can't be lukewarm. He said he wants us hot or cold. So where does Jesus fit in this? Okay, the Jews. He's not the Son of God or the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. I'd be getting pretty nervous right now. To the Muslims, he was a great prophet only. And to many, he's a nobody. Doesn't deserve any time, preparation, understanding. To the Christian disciple, he's the Son of God, the Savior, and the only way to heaven. Where does God fit? In John 17:3, it says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God's there. God's there, and it's because of His Son that we're saved. If you keep it simple, it's because of Christ that we're saved by accepting Him as our Lord and Savior, which gives us access to God. I cannot approach God on my own merit. I have none. What about the Holy Spirit? He didn't leave us alone. When Christ left us and ascended to heaven, He left us the Counselor of the Holy Spirit, in whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Sounds like a conscience to me. I ignore mine quite often. I'm trying to learn, listen to it more. Children hear the conscience. Adults have dumbed ours down. Some kids listen to them. I had a kid pitching to me the other day. I got in the batter's box. I wanted to see what it felt like. And I got this 12-year-old pitching 35-mile-an-hour hardballs at me. He says, "Are you going to put a helmet on?" I said, "No." He threw a couple at me, almost hit me in the head. I went and got a helmet on. And I said, "If you hurt me, realize I'm the sole supporter and leader of my family. If I can't work, I might lose my house. And that should weigh on your conscience." And he smugly, kind of darkly said, "I have no conscience." I don't know. I think he was joking. He's a good kid. I thought about though. Conscience. So I think the Holy Spirit's talking to us. And, you know, boom. That's wrong. But we've dumbed that down. Let's listen to our conscience more. I think it's the Holy Spirit. Let's listen to that more. Seek godly counsel. We have some great men here in the church that are willing to listen to you and take time with you and give you, again, the most important thing we have on this earth is our time. They're willing to give us our time. Whether it be just for a one-time meeting or an extended week-long process is to help us get through it. This church is willing to help us with our needs. Seek godly counsel. Judge your counsel in what they're telling you. And know that it might not always be what you want to hear. And when they tell you things, test it against the Scripture. And Psalms 111:10 tells us, "Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts will have good understanding. And to Him belong eternal praise." Yeah, I had some good friends that used to give me a lot of permissions to go do things because I deserved to. And I loved their counsel. I got in a lot of trouble. Always be prepared to give an answer. It's great to study. I'm not saying don't study, but let's keep it simple. Just realize Christ is King. Study all you want, because what we are hungry people who have found food, and we need to share this with other people in the world that all need the same food. So if we're studying and we can do it right, it tells us that in your heart set apart as Christ, set Christ apart as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know, I go at people like a truck. It just doesn't work. Let's try and get a little smoother. Am I saved? Again, I mean, that's the question, right? And Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "It's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift from God." In conclusion, what have you done with Christ? Is He a nobody? A great prophet? The Son of the one true God Almighty? Your Savior, your King, and the Lord? You decide. Are you for Him or against Him? Are you saved? Thank you for your attention tonight. and I will conclude with that.